the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's truly an honor to be here this morning and even through the conference to minister to God's people. I don't take it for granted that the Lord has afforded me this privilege to share with God's special people. The word of the Lord is light. And when light begins to reveal its essence, there are many dimensions of light that is captured in the spectrum of white light. White light is made up of 7 different colors. And sometimes, when one dimension of white light manifests, and you see another dimension, you may need to have a foundation of light itself to understand that the testimony that they bring is from the same spectrum. Because green and red coexist in a realm called white light. So when you see the witness of green and red is about to manifest, it's also important for you to understand this is from the same spectrum. This is why every time we begin, it's always important to lay a foundation. And so this morning I will lay a foundation because we will be going very high in the spirit later in the evening. Please lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Father. Just tell Him your heart is open to receive. Tell Him you are ready to drink from the presence. Kadosh, Kadosh, You are mighty on Your throne. You reign, You ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, You are mighty on Your throne. You reign, You reign, You reign. You ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, You are mighty on Your throne. You reign, You reign, You reign. You are mighty on Your throne. You reign, You reign, You reign.
You reign, You reign, Zion's King.
Kadosh, Kadosh, You are mighty on Your throne. Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege to share and to co-inhere with You in Your presence. Our hearts are open to receive, and we ask that You release Yourself upon us lavishly. Thank You, Lord, because we have made space, and we know we will be blessed. Take all the praise, take all the glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please sit down for a moment. Man was created primarily to know God. Man was not created primarily to carry out activities. The primary preoccupation of man as touching the purpose of his existence is for him to interact with divinity until he become like Him. I've shared again and again that when the project of creation began, the greatest expression of the wisdom and the power of God was put together when God embarked on the project of man. Before God began to create the universe, He was. Because God Himself is not defined on the basis of what He can do. It's on the basis of who He is
And before God began to do, he existed as a being without beginning and without end. Before God began the project of creation, he was. And I dare to tell you that there were many other engagements that God was involved in before he began creation. Creation is not the first thing that God embarked upon, because God is not just creator. God is many things more than creator. But creator is one of the things that define God from the plane of the things he does. But just in case God did not create, there were many other businesses that God would have engaged himself in. But these things are not captured within the realm of human understanding, because it's not given to us to understand. So everything we know about God today is all captured in the syllabus of God as creator. But in case God did not decide to create, there are still many things in God that is past finding out. But when God began the project of creation, it was just an avenue for him to reveal himself, because God wants to be known. One of the burdens in the heart of God is the fact that he wants to be known. There is nothing mortals can give to God, because before we gave him, or beyond everything we can give him, he is still God. If he needs to receive anything from us to be God, then he has a weakness. So God does not need to receive to be God, because he's God all by himself. So God doesn't need us to be God. We need him to be humans. Are we together? So one of the burdens that God has in his heart is to be known. God wants to be known before God wants to receive from you. And so if you don't know God, then you have not begun to walk in the syllabus of the purpose of creation. Because one of the things that he had in mind was for creation to know him. And I will tell you the implication of knowing God. Because knowing God is not just to make an acquaintance. There are spiritual realities that are tied to spiritual knowledge. For example, life in the spirit is not bread. Life in the spirit is the knowledge of God. So when you are living on the plane of biological reality, you will define life as breath. But when Jesus came from the realm of Abba, he said, "This is life eternal, that you may know him, the only true God." So in the realm of the spirit, the knowledge of God is not acquaintance. There are many things that are attributed to the knowledge of God. And that is why one of the greatest burdens in the heart of God is for him to be known. Because God knows that when a generation begins to know him, then the quality of life that he has to offer to that generation begins to increase. So the quality of a man's life, or the quality of a creation, is the degree to which he knows God. Because knowledge in the realm of the spirit is not acquaintance, it is life. So when we begin to consider the subject of encountering God, we are actually going back to the foundation of reality to find out the things that truly matter. Number two, God wants to be worshipped, because he's a king. And worship in the spirit is not a song. You may use a song to render worship. Worship in the spirit is the ability to substitute your will for the will of God. So the greatest worship that the whole of human race have seen was not in an excited place. It was in Gethsemane, when Jesus was traveling. He said, "Father, not my will, but thine." Because even though he had power to do what he wanted, and he was not wrong. Because he said, "I can ask my Father and he will release legions of angels to me this hour." He had the right not to go that way, but his will had come under the government of the will of the Father. So even though it was not his choice to die for man, he decided to substitute his will for the will of God. So the loudest sound of worship is not, "Praise the Lord, it is not my will, but thine." So every king desires to be worshipped. And so in the realm of God, one of the things that determines the rank of creation is the quality of worship that they render to the throne immortal. And that is why the most ranking beings in heaven are worshippers. They said the 20 and 4 elders, day and night, they fell on their faces. Now, the 20 and 4 elders are not in every cadre. They are the highest cadre of the angelic realm. They live in the presence of God, and their habitation is in the throne room. But the only thing they do is to worship God. Because what God desires is to be worshipped. And when John was granted access to heaven, what they told John was that all things were created because they were talking to God, they were mingling with God. And the things they uttered was that the reason why all things was created was to give pleasure to God. It was not to survive. Because those are secrets that are captured in the archive of divinity. A man must be given access to understand those things. There are many angels that their job is to carry out the errands of God. Those are beautiful. But the cadres of the angelic realm has the highest for those who know how to worship God. Because there is a place where who you are and what you do to God is more important than what you do for God. Who you are is a function of the knowledge of God that you have. What you do to God is a function of the quality of worship that you render to God. But what you do for God is a service that benefits both you and God. And you can choose to render that service to benefit you alone and God not be in the equation. Yet you'll be making exploit. And so when we begin to consider the subject of encounter, we are trying to go back to the foundation of reality. What is it that is in the heart of Abba? So when we live our lives and we complete our sojourn on the face of the earth and we cross the veil of time into the veil of eternity, we will know that while we walked on earth as pilgrims, we pursue things that were eternal. And some of the things that are eternal is the knowledge of God and the ability to bring worship to that throne in a way that can be vetoed by the authority of that throne and given an approver. So at the end of time, you will hear, "Well done, thou faithful servant." So we are considering the knowledge of God. The primary purpose of encounter is to come into experiential knowledge of God. Without the experiential knowledge of God, life becomes vanity. Because what God had in mind when he began to create man is for him to know him. And so Jesus gave it as a manifesto, a blueprint for his appearing. This is life eternal. John 17 verse 3, that you may know him, the only true God, and him whom he has sent. Now, it's possible for you to have God and be defeated in life. In Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, he said, "They that do know their God." It's not they that have a God. He said, "They that do know their God." That means in the body of Christ, we are separated into different expressions on the basis of our relationship with God. There are those who have God and there's no argument about it. But the functionality and the expression of your life on earth is not whether you have God or not. But if you know your God, he said, one, you will be strong. And number two, you will do exploit. It's not they who have God. Now, the Bible said in Hosea chapter 11 verse 6, it said, "My people perish, not because I'm not strong. I am the Almighty. My power cannot be contested." And to make things more threatening, he said, "They are my people." He didn't say aliens perish. He said, "My people perish." That means it's possible for you to be God's people and perish. It's possible for you to be God's people and have no exploit in the kingdom. So what will give you the power for exploit and what will sustain eternal preservation in your life is not the fact that God is your God. It's the fact that you know him. It's not the fact that God is willing or not willing to provide or to protect. God may be willing to protect you, but you will still perish. Because my people, I know they are my people, they are my inheritance. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 9, he said the Lord's portion is his people. That means what God gains in the economy of creation is not the sun, the moon, and the stars. What God gains from creation is the fact that he has a people that is his own. So God's jealousy is already invested upon his people. He said, but even though God's portion is his people and the jealousy of God is invested upon his people, he said it's possible for his people to perish. Not because God doesn't want to save. Not because God is not powerful enough to deliver. Not because God does not have more than enough for his people. He said, but it is because of the lack of knowledge. That means everything a man is going through in life today has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with his knowledge or his ignorance. So the subject of encounter comes to redefine our experience on the face of the earth. And it comes to give us a place even in the realm of God. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. But they who do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertains to life and to godliness. But there is a clause. It said, it is through the knowledge of him that has what? Called us to glory and to virtue. That means what God called us into is glory. Glory is the essence of God. The ability to manifest God. The ability to contain God. The ability to reveal God. Glory is not how you do something necessarily. It is the ability to bring God on the scene through what you do. So man was not called to live in the order of man. Man was not called to showcase human intelligence. Man was not called to showcase human masterpiece. Man was called to reveal God. So if a man is singing, his song should communicate God. If a man is dancing, his dancing should communicate God. If a man is sweeping, his sweeping should communicate God. Everything he does, one thing he's called to express is God. But he said, for you to walk in that realm of glory, there has to be a knowledge. A requisite knowledge of God is what makes it happen. So when you see a man's business excel, there is a glory that manifests through that business that causes it to excel. That glory is not because God prefers him over the other. That glory is because he has a knowledge with God that the other person does not have. When you come to House on the Rock and you see so much excellence and class, it's not because God loves the patriarch more than the other ones. It's because there is a knowledge that he has entered into. So the excellency of God naturally flows like a river. It's a knowledge. So it's important for us to come into the frequency of that knowledge. That means if a man has not entered into the frequency of the knowledge of God, life has not begun. Life has not begun. The goal of encounter primarily is to know God. And when you know God, you begin to ascend on the cadre of life. On the cadre of life. And if you study the scripture, you will discover that there are six cadres, six expressions of life. The first expression of life is the animal life, where man survives by blood. That's the lowest realm of life. At the realm of the animal life, man is ruled by his feelings. He doesn't necessarily need to have a relationship with God. Now, the reason God dealt with man on the premise of blood covenant is because every man is captured at the realm of the animal life. But there are realms of life where not every man exists. It is in the cadres of life that we are separated as mortals. Not all men are not the same. Men walk at different realms of life. At the animal life, we are all the same. Because if you cut me, you will find blood. If you cut anybody here, you will find blood. So every man has blood running through his vein. And it's the lowest level of existence. But you see, the man God created, he didn't create him at the animal life. The man God created, he actually began the project of that man from the second level of life, which is the soulish life. While the animal life functions on blood, the soulish life functions on breath. So when he created that man in Genesis 2:7, he said he breathed into the man and the man became a living soul. Now when Adam fell, he actually fell from the soulish realm to the blood realm. That's why God stopped working with man by breath. He started working with man by blood. So when man fell, man needed to be atoned for by blood, because every man is at the animal life. But when man begins to journey in the spirit, he will move from that level of blood. He will come to another level called breath, where he functions by his soulish powers. But that level still doesn't have God engrafted in the equation. Because when God breathed into the man and the man became a living soul, God didn't stop there. In Genesis 2:9, the Bible said God planted a tree of life in the garden. That means God expected Adam, instead of going backward to blood, he expected him to go towards the tree of life. But the man didn't know that life is in cadres. So every day God came in the cool of the day to have fellowship with the man. The idea was to lead him in the path of life. Because as you know more of God, you will journey further in life. But unfortunately, instead of the man having fellowship and intercourse with God and growing in life, he went and had fellowship with the serpent. And the moment he had fellowship with the wrong being, he declined from the soulish realm to the blood realm. But in Jesus Christ, something happens. He brings us back to another realm. And in Christ Jesus, when we received the Zoe of God, we migrated from the soulish life to the God life. The Zoe of God. And the moment we stepped into the Zoe of God, the quality of our life changed. So we no longer survive by blood. We no longer survive by breath. We now survive by the life of God. And even when breath is taken away, we don't die. We transit. We don't die. We transit. That's why I said, when they served God according to their generation, they slept. So Jesus will never call it death. He calls it sleep. Because what you have done is that you have transited to another level. You have come into an insurance system because you receive God through the knowledge of the Son. So you can't die anymore. The quality of your life has changed. But you see, the Zoe life does not just end there. It continually graduates. There's another realm of the Zoe life called the realm of the fear of the Lord. A man does not just manifest the abilities of God, but he brings himself under the government of God. Now, if you don't know God, you will not know that those are cadres. A man who receives God may not have authority in the realm of the spirit. The degree to which you exercise authority in the realm of the spirit is the degree to which you come under the government of God. That's why I said, if your obedience is fulfilled, then you will avenge other disobedience. Now, but it takes knowledge for you to graduate. So there are Christians today that have eternal life. And that's all they know. They just talk about it, but they do what they want. They have not understood that eternal life has another cadre. So when you know God and you begin to know God more, you will not just know the love of God. You will not just know the mercy of God. You will also know the terror of God. And Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we commend men to come under government. So when a man begins to know God more, he will know that my life is not just about what God has given to me. God has a law. God has a government. God has a token that governs my life. He will come under that government. For that kind of man, he has transited in this way life. Because the realm of the fear of God is the angelic realm. Angels don't relate with God based on mercy. They don't relate with God based on love. They don't relate with God based on grace. They relate with God based on laws. And that's why angels tremble at the presence of God. But there are men that function in that level. So when they come to a place, the level of authority they wield is unimaginable because of the level of life they are operating in. And that is not just all. There is another level called the level of immortality. In 1 Timothy 1:10, he said he has revealed life and immortality through the gospel. So the realm of immortality is realm when you become a master over creation. So Jesus saw the Jordan, he didn't part it, he walked on it. Because it's above the elements. He had not resurrected, he walked on water. That's an immortal dimension of life. It is available to us today. Because the Bible told us that Moses, when he had encounters with God, he said he wished not that his face began to shine. So Moses began to dominate the natural element and began to step into the immortal element. Because encounter improves the quality of your life. Moses was not just under government. Moses began to transfigure it. And a point came, Moses was called a God. Even the laws that God gave Moses for his generation, God called it the laws of Moses. He didn't call it the law of God. He called it the laws of Moses. And in the New Testament, he said when Moses is read, Moses had come under government until Moses became the law. So when you are reading Exodus, you are reading Moses. He had become one with the covenant of God. They say when Moses is read, it's a realm. It's a realm. This is why men like Moses lived on the mountain. Because they know transfiguration is a mountain business. And the Bible said, as Jesus prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment glistened. Because he knew the way of the mountain. It is only by encounter that the quality of a man's life improves. It's not in a Bible school. Thank God for Bible school. It will show you the laws of God. But the actual transfiguration is a function of beholding him. For we all with open faces beholding us in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed. They say, when we shall see him, we shall be like him. There is a realm of life that sons are called into. We are not supposed to be preachers. We will preach to bring witness, but we are supposed to be the manifestation of the God that we serve. We are not supposed to be singers. We will bring witness through singing, but we are supposed to be the manifestation of the God that we serve. The reason we do many things but the world is not changing is because men don't know God. They know about God, they don't know God. When we begin to encounter God and transfigurations begin to take place, a day will come, you will preach, people will be blessed because you brought them knowledge. Another day will come, you don't need to preach. When you come up and you say, God bless you, it's enough, because you will emit glory. The world is not looking for preachers. It's looking for witnesses. They said the earnest expectation of creation, he waited, not for preachers, for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are the men that have grown in the cadres of life? Who are the men that have known him until they have become like him that they know? Who are those men? Those are the men the world is waiting for. So when we talk encounter, we want to journey in the path of life. Because when you live immortality, there is the realm called the realm of oneness. In that realm, you don't talk. You know as you are known. So your ear doesn't need to talk to your hand for your hand to know that your ear hurts. So everything God is doing in the spirit, you know here. Encounter is a transition in the realms of life. Encounter is a knowledge that brings about transitions in the realm of life. It is not correct for a Christian to remain at one level for 1 year. So in January, you neither to receive, you are blessed for you to be blessed. It means you are not encountering God. You are not transiting. A point will come when it's not you are blessed that blesses you. You become the blessing. Because you have moved. A point comes when it's not you are favored before you are favored. We will do that because we know that they are young believers. But when we come for pastors' meetings, we don't say you are blessed. Because everyone who comes is a carrier of the blessing. A point comes when you don't need your healed to be healed. You have entered the realm where sickness don't survive. So you naturally walk in divine health. I don't know about you, but I can't be sick. It's a realm because you have transited. There is a quality of life you can never attain until you begin to know God, and the knowledge of God is through encounters. You will read a book until God encounters you. There will nothing will happen. You will increase in knowledge and you become proud. Because a full head brings about pride. But a man who knows God is broken. That's the difference. There is a man whose head is full of knowledge. He's proud and high-minded. There's another man who knows God. Knowledge brings transformation. So the man is broken. He's not proud. He's broken. That's a man that is moving in life. Encounter is a journey in life because the knowledge of God increases. Let me share with you 2 channels of encounter this morning, because in the evening I will talk about provokers of encounters, the things that provoke encounter, and I will talk about certain encounters. If you have had it, when you start saying it, that atmosphere will come. The proof that you can talk about an encounter is not because you read about it. It's because you've had it. So when you talk about it, the witness and the government of that realm will visit the place. And because we don't have time this morning, I won't trouble the waters. And then somebody says, I need prayer to get married. You. No, you don't need prayer. There is a level of favor you carry. You will need prayer to stop men. You can't go out. You will need prayer. Because every day you are coming home, somebody is coming. And they are not charlatans. Quality people. Because when they see you, they see different dimensions of glory. How can you need prayer to get married? You. No. That's why you came for Encounter Conference. When you leave the conference, there's an aroma you will carry. Even when you go to your office, they will know that something has changed. Because you have entered another level of understanding. I'm telling you, there is a power that knowledge places on you. You will be amazed. You may not qualify, but they don't have a choice. You are the one they will call. And then when they bring you to certain platforms, people will be wondering, how did they get this person? It's glory. It's glory. The quality of your life is a function of encounters. Encounters are spiritual moments where divinity chooses to manifest himself to mortals with the attendant desire that mortals will become like the divine. They are spiritual moments seized by divinity to reveal himself to mortals so that mortals can become like the divine. Thank God for your intelligence, but it doesn't impress spirits. Thank God for your beauty, it doesn't impress spirits. They want to find out, which one of us do you look like? Which one of us do you represent? Because when you show up in the spirit realm, your utterances, your character, your expression reveals a spirit. And until the time comes when you manifest God, you have not begun. That's why we need encounters. The first purpose of encounter is to invoke and to impart the knowledge of God. And when the knowledge of God is imparted, the quality of your life changes. The quality of your life changes. There are certain things that are bigger than a teaching. Teachings are just gateways that opens the portal for you to access reality. It's not about what you write. It's about what you catch. It's not about what you hear. It's about what you mingle with. The Bible said in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. Adam was not hearing God. Adam was mingling with God. That's why when the voice came, he hid himself. He was still hearing the voice. He knows that when the voice comes, it's for intimacy. It's not for hearing. Even when he hides, he can hear God and talk to God. He was not interested just in hearing and talking. He was interested in participating. Because the more he mingled with God, the more he became like God. It's beyond a message written. It's about a reality captured. And so the first thing encounters do for you is to improve the quality of your life. And when the quality of your life increases, everything around you will change. It will change. There are things you need to shout to happen. You will think about it will happen. Because there's been a shift. I'm saying all of this so you will prepare your heart. Because it's beyond the message. It's something you must make up your mind that you will catch your own. There are men who don't pray for things. They think it happens. The Bible says, while they are yet thinking, God appears. Because of where they are functioning in. The realm that they are functioning in. Why somebody else is saving money to buy a car? If somebody else says, car, he just thinks of a car. That day they bring three. And then you are like, what's going on? He has grown in life. There is a place he is operating in life where he doesn't need the trouble of thinking of what he needs. There are men stationed everywhere to make sure anything he needs is supplied. So there is a realm a man gets to that God stations other men to meet his need. That's why I said Moses is a god. Aaron is his prophet. Encounters. The second purpose of encounters is to help us discover purpose and calling. It's beautiful if the quality of your life increases, but encounters don't just come to improve the quality of your life. They come to bring definition and specificity to the purpose of your existence. Because a man's life can be so good, but he doesn't know why he's here. And nobody can sufficiently tell you why you are here. Only the one who created you will tell you why you are here. He's the one that has the power, because when he sculpted you in the studios of eternity, he had something in mind. And you have to meet him for him to tell you. Now, when you see a generation, even when you read through scriptures, for instance, there were over 4 million Israelites. There were only three men: Moses, Joshua, Aaron, and Miriam. So you can find a multitude of people running, doing a lot of things, who don't know why they exist. And until the purpose of a man's life is known, God cannot commit powers to that man, because it will be a waste of divine resources. So instead of asking God for things, it's better to ask God first, why am I here? So when encounters come, they reveal purpose and calling. This is why subjects like this are very important, especially when we are in Kairos moments like this. The body of Christ is in a transition phase. Those who know, know. When you see, apart from the Holy Ghost telling you or witnessing it to your spirit, when you see warriors and patriarchs who have kept the gate begin to drop their mantles and go home, know that the vacuum in the spirit must be filled. And so God will begin to promote men and to shift men to cover the vacuums in the spirit. So when Renhard Bonnke goes home, you know that there is a vacuum in the evangelical corridor. Somebody else will step in there, and that person moving will create a vacuum. Somebody will come in. So recruitments will keep happening. Now, when you are in a transition season, you know that matters of purpose and calling cannot be trivialized. Now, when you fail to isolate your calling and your purpose, it may take another spiritual cycle for you to be relevant. Because God will not wait for you. As touching blessing you, he can choose to wait to bless you. But as touching his agenda, he will not wait for you. He will raise many Davids to cover the gap. And so when you need to know why you are here, then it's an urgent matter that must be attended to. And if you don't know why you are here yet, then encounter becomes priority. Because the only way you will know is when you have an encounter. And when you study the scripture, all the men that made impact in their generation, they had encounters. He said, God had said to Abraham, Genesis 12, from verse 1 to 3, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of thy kindred, and out of thy father's house, and come to the land that I will show you. In blessings I will bless you. Now, if you don't know exact specifications and specificities about purpose and calling, there will be a problem. Now, the purpose of your life is the reason for your creation. The calling of your life is the strategy for fulfilling or actualizing the purpose of your existence. So, I may have the same purpose as our dear brother here, to heal broken bodies, and by so doing, bring men back to God. The purpose may be the same, but the calling is different. He may be doing it as a doctor. I may be doing it as an evangelist. If I don't understand calling by an encounter, because I'm intelligent, I may choose to go the way of medicine. I have altered spiritual algorithm. And at the end of the day, the resources that I need to prosecute that purpose will not be there, because the resources are in the line of your calling. So if you don't find your calling, even though you are doing the right thing, you will struggle. So many people struggle because of dislocation. They didn't find their calling. They had a body that was consistent with their purpose, but their callings were wrong. So both of us can be healing broken bodies and bringing people to the kingdom. But you may choose to be an evangelist. I may choose to be a doctor. And we have altered the spiritual order. So one is an evangelist, he will struggle all his life. And he will assume that struggling is a testimony. Now some of us, we suffer for the Lord. You are not suffering for the Lord because you are struggling. You are suffering because you don't know your calling. And I may be doing medicine, and even while doing medicine, I will die in the process. And God will not be troubled, because pleasant in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. But I have missed out of existence. And life is not lived twice. So I can't afford a mistake. So whatever it takes for me to find that encounter that will isolate my purpose and my calling, even if it takes 1 year on the mountain, I will shut everything down and get there. Because when I know it, then speed becomes a byproduct. So Elijah was on the mountain 7 times traveling. What is the way? The moment he isolated it, he said, go tell Ahab that there will be an abundance of rain. He better hurry home. For me now, speed is not a prayer point. It has become a byproduct. And the Bible said the hand of God was upon Elijah. He outran the chariot of Ahab. How can a man outrun a chariot? Because he has found calling. He has found purpose. He knows the mind of God. So the wind of the Spirit will come. And from that day, Elijah didn't need to trek anymore. He started walking by the wind of the Spirit. So Obadiah came to him and said, I will not go to the king. The wind of God will take you. And when he finished his assignment on earth, he didn't choose death. Because there's a realm you get to in life that you will choose how you will go. He said, Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. And he said, he bore the testimony. So Enoch didn't know, he knew he wouldn't die. He told his generation, we don't die. When we are done, we transit. We know the code of rapture. The body of Christ can be waiting for it, but we are walking in it now. We know the code. There is something in the spirit that will make men change. We found it in our walk with God. And Elijah, when he finished his assignment, he walked across Jordan. And he went to the end of Jordan. Said, the time has come. What do you need? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, you have asked for a hard thing. But if you see me while I'm taken, my God, you knew when you'll be taken. You knew where you'll be taken. If you see me, such men walk this earth, and then you want to leave the earth as a mediocre. No. Too many men have brought too many witnesses that makes it a sin for you not to make impact. If you see me while I'm taken, encounter, you isolate callings. Moses had bought him for Israel. He went, saw an Egyptian, killed him. How many Egyptians will you kill? That's why many people have the right motives, but they self-destruct because they don't know calling and purpose. I want to take over Abuja for Jesus. And then he begins to trek around Abuja every day. And at the age of 25, he looks like 60 years old. When he's 30, he now dies of stroke. He now says, we were laboring for God. You were not laboring for God. You were laboring in ignorance. Because there are certain men that God has revealed calling to them. So they know strategies. They can sit in one place and they will not only network Abuja, they will network Africa. So the same thing you are walking about with megaphone doing. Somebody else is doing it in the comfort of his own. And it's affecting. The people he affects in one day will take you 4 years to affect. It's not because God made your calling small. You didn't find that calling. You jumped out with zeal, but you didn't have the encounters to isolate the strategy of that calling. So when you see men making impact at different level, it's a function of the encounters that they had. So they know who to call. They know where to go to. They know what to say to change the topography of the spirit. But there are many men that have negated the requirements of encounter, and they are laboring in the flesh. And they think God is so pleased because they are struggling. There are too many advantages in life for you to struggle. Struggle is not necessary. Every time you struggle, it's an alarm system that ignorance still rules your realm. Because he has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge. So every struggle, every crisis, every affliction is an alarm system indicating a kind of ignorance that exists in your ecosystem. God is not pleased when you struggle, because it wasn't necessary. And when God came himself, he didn't struggle. But it takes encounters to find purpose, to find calling. In Luke 1:8, it says John was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. And even though before John, nobody baptized, he looked mundane. He looked funny. A man just comes out of the wilderness. And everybody say, come. He dips them into water and brings them up. What are you doing, sir? We have Sanhedrin that were learned men. They know the Torah. They studied it before your grandfather was born. What are you doing? And while he was baptizing, the Bible said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. He didn't even come to city center. He was far away in the Jordan. But the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. It was when John spoke in John 1:33 that we knew that was a strategy. He said, the one that sent me to baptize. So I'm not baptizing because I'm creative. It was a strategy given to me on the mountain of encounter. The one that sent me to baptize, the same said unto me, upon whom you see the Spirit descend as a dove, he is the Messiah. So, one, the baptism was a strategy. Number two, the baptism was the only basis of finding Jesus. Because Jesus will come in a disguise. You will not look at him coming like the Sanhedrin and say you are the Messiah. You will fail a thousand times. So the only way you can identify the Christ is to be dipping men in water. The Christ will find you. You won't find him. And while he was doing it, diligently, Jesus knew him. They were cousins. He never said anything. Many times Jesus would look at him. Well done, sir. And go. And the guy was doing what he was doing. Because, see, the reason you will have fatigue in ministry is because you didn't have encounters. If God tells you, pray in the night, it doesn't matter if anybody comes. You will just be praying and having fun. Because you are too assured. That was the assignment. When you see men trying to do many things, they lack encounters. So they are looking for which one will work. The which one we walk and trial and error is a sign that they don't have encounter. They don't have encounters. When you see a man, they say there's a job in Lagos, he has moved. There's one in Port Harcourt. There's one in Ibadan. No. Sons don't wonder. We journey into inheritance. You don't go from city to city looking for a job. When you have an encounter, the Holy Ghost will tell you, go to Lagos. And when you come to Lagos, you know you have come to conquer. Because an immortal spirit has all attacked these oracles. So you are not coming to do trial and error. And when you get to Lagos, you will not walk by the chances that Lagos offers. You will be walking on the voice of an oracle. That voice will carry you through every affairs of Lagos. And even if everybody in Lagos fails, you will succeed. Because a spirit sent you there. You are running the errand of a spirit. Our world is full of men doing trial and error because they have not had encounters. There is a scarcity of encounters. That's why men do too many trial and error. If encounters are not born, purpose will not be realized. Callings will not be isolated. And the life of man will be left with struggles. He said, the one that sent me, the same said unto me. What can you say when they ask you, who are you? Some of us will say we are doctors. There is no lexicon in the spirit that captures what you studied. Some will say we are lawyers. No, you are not a lawyer. You are a witness in a different class in the spirit. And until you find that one that sent you, you will not know. When they met John, he didn't say, I'm the son of Zacharias. He didn't say, I am a priest. He said, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. So even though every preacher was in the synagogue, John knew that his own ministry doesn't have a synagogue. His own ministry has the wilderness. So even though the whole strategy said, go to city center. He knew that his own ministry is not in the city center. So when the time came, the man went to the wilderness because he isolated his calling. I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare a way for the Lord. That's why John's message, he didn't shun messages from one place to another. He spoke what came to his spirit because the path that he should follow was already defined. When we begin to have this encounter, our callings will be known. Jealousy will die. Wickedness will die. Sentiment will die. We'll come to church, three people in the choir are fighting over who we lead. Because they think it's a platform that makes men. No. No platform makes men. They say, come, let us make man in our own image. It's God that makes men. Let us make man. Follow me, I will make you. I will make you. So, you see people fighting because she sang and pastor stood up. When the other one comes up and pastor doesn't stand, she loses her sleep. And then it becomes about contention and competition. She's dating the other person. No. When they came to John and said, the one you spoke about is baptizing at the Jordan and all men are going to him. He said, I must decrease. why they must increase. I know my assignment. My job is done. There's no competition in this equation. I found my calling. There are many who have not found their calling. So we do things the way others do it. No. Something is wrong. We can't take our word like that. Encounters are the premise upon which purpose and calling is isolated. And I tell you, the relevance of your life anchors on your discovery of purpose and calling. So conferences like this will take you back to the realm of the spirit, and you will begin a journey of intimacy with God to find out, why am I here? And how do I prosecute the purpose for which I'm here? It's not a conference to excite you. It's a conference to take you back to the mountains of the spirit and find out, Lord, I will not live another day by trial and error. I've got a body. The next day of trial and error will not come. Every step I take must be ordered by the Lord, because I've heard the voice of that spirit. Callings are isolated by encounters. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 from verse 15, he said, when it pleased the Father to reveal the Son in me, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I went to Arabia. And when he came back, he said, the gospel I preached was not taught me of any man. That was why Paul came. He said, it was given to him to reveal the exceeding riches of Christ to the Gentiles. If Paul didn't come, you and I would not have been permitted to be Christians. Peter would have locked the door against us. Get up! Are you a Jew? But when Paul came, he said, no, the Gentiles are part of the commonwealth of Israel. Because the man God is making is not a natural man, he's a spiritual man. And everyone that calls the name of Jesus receives the spirit of that immortal spirit, and is no longer a natural man. In the spirit, we are one. The Israelite of the spirit is a spiritual man. And whether you are black or white is not a factor. We have become one man. He caught it on the mountain of encounter. That was why he had boldness. Even though what he was preaching looked alien, they wanted to slaughter him. Many times, they wanted to imprison him. There were times Paul entered the city, he was stoned to death. He stood up and cleaned his shirt. Said, let's go to the next city. It doesn't matter if men are clapping. You know, now we talk atmosphere. The people are not receiving. When the day of Paul, if you are preaching, somebody will come and say, you are a blasphemer. And they will start stoning you on the altar. If you don't know what you came with, you will never preach again. The first time God told me to begin to talk to the youth and set them on fire, I called my friend. We dressed well and went to a secondary school. And I met the principal. Good day, ma'am. How are you doing? He said, fine. I said, my name is Oroko Mike. My friend, we have realized that the devil wants to truncate the destiny of the younger generation. And so it's necessary that we arrest them fast and establish them in the kingdom. And we want you to know that the school is a platform God gave you to gather these people so that they can encounter them. And the woman heard us. She said, I'm sorry, I don't mingle my job with religion. Go. I was shocked. I thought because she was a Christian, she would say, you are welcome. When we left, the anointing left my head. I felt I was, what is the meaning of this? God, what happened? The Holy Ghost said, go forward. I sent you. I didn't know I needed to learn a lot of things to build spiritual resilience. When a man knows his calling, even if the president of that nation stands against him, it won't be a factor. When they wanted to stop the great revivalist, John Wesley, we were told that they chased him out of the city. He went to his father's grave and stood on the grave. He said, this one is my property. And he was preaching on the father's grave, leaning on the epitaph and preaching the gospel. He didn't need a large auditorium. We are discouraged because we don't have encounters. When you have encounters, nothing is strong enough to discourage you. You will know that you know your name, that this is why I was born. Even when Jesus stood beyond Pilate and he was being condemned, he said, for this cause I was born. For this cause came I into the world. It doesn't matter. Even in killing me, I'm fulfilling purpose. We don't get discouraged. You can't break that flax. It will be. If the residence cannot be damaged. Encounters, callings can only be isolated when we have genuine encounters. Number three, encounters reveal to us the futility of life. A man who has not had encounter will pride himself on the things of this life. Some couple of years ago, I had so much burden. I was traveling everywhere. And sometimes we had to travel in commercial vehicles. And when you travel for 8 hours or 14 hours in a Sienna bus that doesn't have windows, when it starts raining, you will be a recipient. And you move like that for 13 hours. And you do it consistently for 2 years, you will now discover that the bones on your back are fragmented. It's not just a strong cord. After traveling for about 2 years, I discovered that naturally I was bent. So when I sit down for a while and I stand up, I'll be walking like this. Some friends now saw me and said, "God, this wisdom God gave you is beginning to make you look like an ancient man." If I sit for 10 minutes, I will walk. The bones began to. And a point came. Somebody heard me from Greece and said, "Car, that God told him to buy me a Jeep." And he bought me a 4Runner Jeep. Now, those days when you travel like that, as you are coming, sometimes you arrive the place, the state, by 5 p.m. You're already 1 hour late for the service. So, the people, when you see them, the way they'll be behaving, and sometimes they are northern region, so they have to close the service by 6:37. So when you consider why you came, you may just have to go straight to the program. And so when we are coming into the program, people begin to scream, "The revivalist is coming." They don't know that you are coming with pain. Now when you sit down and you are trying to absorb the pain, sometimes you close your eyes. When you close your eyes, some people will be looking at you and speaking in tongues. They'll say, "My God, he's in the spirit. He's in the spirit." "Sir, I'm not in the spirit. I'm absorbing pain." They'll look at you and say, "My God, he's in the spirit." Can you imagine? Jesus. Thank God, God used it to bless them. We have to go through that path. But eventually a 4Runner Jeep came, tinted glass. So when we drove to the meeting, we came down like apostles. There's a way apostles walk. The Holy Ghost now told me, the Jeep does not add to your social status. The Jeep is a tool. He took an encounter to know that my social status did not change because a Jeep came. My social status, my spiritual ranking did not change because a Jeep came. Because what gave me relevance was the honor that God put on me. Because he said, "Lay hands on Joshua and I will take some of the honor that is upon you and I will put it upon him." Because there are many people that can come the way you came and will still not be relevant. So it is the honor I give you that gives you relevance. Now, if you turn your attention to the car, it means you don't know why the car came. Now, many times, the blessings that God gives to his children become the reason why they lose rank in the spirit. Because the pride of life will now set in, because the person now bought a house in Lekki. He now thought that because he has the house in Lekki, he is relevant in the agenda of God. No. It is the futility of life. And Ecclesiastes 1:14 calls it, he says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. It will weaken the power and the potency of your spirit. If you are not able to discern that the things God gives you, money, possession, resources, are all instruments for facilitating kingdom, and you now build your house and your life and relevance upon it, they said the day you stood upon it, you have become mundane. Because pride of life and building confidence on the things of life is a testimony of the fall. Because when man fell, his value was no longer in God. His confidence was no longer in God. His value and security was now in things. So every time a man begins to give himself or consider himself relevant because of his possession or the things he had. He has lost the essence and meaning of existence. It will take an encounter to reveal to you that everything God gives you is a tool. But your true value is the one that dwells on your inside. That's why Paul came and said, this is the mystery of this age. The mystery of this age is not that I have things to show. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So whether there is car or there's no car, you wake up in the morning and you walk like a king. I'm not a king because I drove a car. I'm a king because I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special person, called forth to showcase the excellencies of God. They say, unto him that washed us in his blood and made us kings and priests unto God. The substance of God is what gives me value. No matter what comes my way today, it can't affect me. Many have not seen the futility of life. So even their commitment to God begins to decline the moment the resources of this life begins to increase. So the guy who before we prostrate before God will now come to church and coordinate himself, because now he's wearing a tuxedo suit. You don't know that that suit has denied you rank. When you enter the spirit realm, the greatest of them all are the ones that go lowest. That's why the 24 elders, they lie on their faith. John was in the Isle of Patmos. He said, come and I will show you the things hereafter. And the first thing he revealed to John was how spiritual ranking is arranged in the spirit. And John saw other small angels doing many things. The strongest of angels, John saw that their preoccupation was to lie down before God. Those are the things hereafter. And when an encounter brings you to an understanding of the things hereafter, the higher you go, the more humble you will become. Because the testimony of rank is brokenness. The body of Christ is not wielding the power she should wield, because we have become mundane. The men that God is depending upon to defend the territorial integrity, because he blessed them, he can't find them anymore. It will take an encounter to reveal to us that this life has already been judged. He said the elements of this world will melt. There is a time when warriors are called. When will you stand? Where will you be? Even spiritual things have made us lose rank. The guy was humble until he began to call people's names and phone numbers. And all of a sudden, he feels now he's a different person. The guy was humble until he began to see the sick healed in his meeting. The guy was humble until his honorarium changed. And now when he comes for a meeting, everything about him shows arrogance. The flavor and the sweet fragrance of God that came out of his spirit when he was just an ordinary man, he has lost those things. And he doesn't know that as he's gaining in the flesh, he's losing in the spirit. And he said to Saul, when you were small in your own eyes, did I not make you a king? The vanity of life will make us look rank in the realm of God. But it will take continuous encounter to bring us back to alignment. Where will we know that even though God has made me the Lord of all, I am still his servant? And so when Paul was growing in the things of the Spirit, he will introduce himself as an apostle and a preacher. A point came, he called himself a servant. A point came, he said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. Because he knew how to go high in the Spirit. Immortal things. The 15 encounters doors is that they give us power to bet civilizations. Everything you see in the realm of mortals didn't begin with men. Civilizations are products of the intelligence of spirits. That's why when God came to take Egypt, he didn't go to Pharaoh. In Exodus chapter 12 verse 12, he said, tonight I will pass through Egypt and I will judge the gods of Egypt. Pharaoh is a puppet of the Leviathan that dwelt in Egypt. Spirits beg civilization. And every time God wants to introduce a culture and a way of life, he begins to encounter men again. That's why I told Abraham, get thee out of thy country. There is a civilization that ruled you. The way of the men of the Chaldees. They have wielded their intelligence into your mind. You think the way they think. Come out of that country. Come out of your kindred. Come out of your father's house. there is a new order you will pioneer. And he said, I will make you a great nation, because the role of spirit is to bring government to this realm. And that's why he told Moses, ensure that you build according to the patterns that were revealed to you on the mount. There is a way I do it my way, myself. If you miss how I do it, my glory will not alight upon it. You can build according to the patterns of other spirits. You are not accurate in the realm of God. You may be big, but what you have will be Babel. Until I design the pattern, it cannot work. But the only way you can find the patterns of heaven is when you are shown the things of the spirit on Horeb. On Horeb. Your family will go the way of the world unless there's an encounter on how to power the ways of your family. If not, when you are in London, your children will be like those in London. When you are in America, your children will be like those in America. And at the age of 12, they will come and say, I don't like my gender. A prophetess will come and say, I don't want to be a woman. I feel like a man. You don't live by your feelings. Before you came, you were ordained and sanctified. The gender was given according to the ordinations of God for your life. But you see, when you're an American child, you can choose which gender you want, because there are no encounters. So the civilization is being lost to iniquity. Morality has collapsed. But for us to build a kingdom that God can have free flow, men will begin to have encounters again. So when you go to the government, you will not do it the way of corruption. Even though you may not have a second term, you will build a system that will ensure righteousness. It will not be conversing for support. It's to raise an immortal dynasty. When you come into ministry, there will be no pressure to succeed. It will be about accuracy. And when you are accurate, you will succeed. Because what you are doing is according to the patterns of the spirit. Many may be doing it in a certain way and succeeding. You know you came to build a civilization. And when Abraham followed God, a point came. 12 princes rose to Abraham. And when this world comes to an end, as a sign that what Abraham did was from heaven, the Bible said the foundation of the new Jerusalem will have 12 pillars, and upon it will be the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. So when God was telling Abraham, I will raise a great nation, it was actually a nation in the spirit that God brought to earth. And when earth is over, that nation will go back to the spirit, because civilizations a function of spiritual intelligence. Out of time. It's a burden to communicate spiritual things. My spirit have not even ascended. I'm still talking from earth. You are not a man. You are a nation. You are a nation. There is a tribe that God wants to raise through you. But you must see the patterns on the mount. A point came in the 12 tribes of Israel. There is a Issachar generation. These ones, their power is in their sight. Issachar don't talk, they see. They see. And said the sons of Issachar, they have understanding of times and seasons. So when the Issachar show up, they can look at the tides of the heaven and they will tell you, God will visit Africa. Go and write it down, it will happen. They know the calendar of the spirit. They can define the movements of the Holy Ghost, because it is in their order to read the patterns of heaven. That is a power that God gave them. But that power was not in Abraham. It was in Issachar. Abraham had to raise Issachar for that power to manifest. There are many things about God that you can manifest, but a tribe needs to come out of you. So when God visits a man, God wants to raise a tribe. God wants to raise a nation. They said the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Because that order of kingship is the order of the immortals. Because it is in the kingship of Judah that Jesus himself came. So when God was talking to Abraham, he was actually using Abraham to invoke himself into the earth. A kingship that has no end was captured in the civilization that Abraham built. You think House on the Rock is a church? No. It's a move of the spirit. Because even after this generation is over, many dimensions, many tributaries will come out. You will see evangelical order, apostolic order, prophetic order, order of psalmist, and you will wonder, what is this? It's a tribe. It's a tribe. So when you want to see the powers of a man, you may not see all of it when he's alive. It's many years when he has gone to be with the Lord. Then you will see the volume of things that man caught in the spirit. That's when you will discover that some of the men you call men are nations. Because today, David, Moses, Jesus, all of them are part of Abraham. That's a system that has transcended time. Your life does not begin and end with you. That's why when the devil comes to distract you with frustration, laugh at him. You don't know me. I was carefully and terribly made. Do you know who I am? I'm a river. He said, they that believe, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. This man you are seeing is a river. Can you stop a river? And then the devil comes and says, it will not work. The job didn't come true. And you are crying. Me. You lose for a political position. You want to kill yourself. No. You are a nation. You are a system. God wants to use you to pioneer an order in your generation. And it will outlive you. It will outlive you. But you need encounters to bring this to bear. The quality of your life. Isolation of your purpose and your calling. Establishment of civilizations upon the face of the earth are all reasons why we need an encounter. And when these things are bound on you, you will do what it takes to begin to walk in encounters naturally. A point will come when encounters will become your way of life. There were some who had it once in a while, but when Jesus came, he taught us that encounters are supposed to be a way of life. He said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He was in Galilee, but he said what? The Son of Man, which is in heaven. Which is in heaven. I live in that realm. I don't have it and it ceases. That's where I live. So when Jesus is coming out, he's coming from an encounter. You can't take him unawares. He has entered the realm where he knows tomorrow. The Son of Man, which is in heaven. You can't miss. You can't fail. You can only succeed. And that's why I said, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Somebody will step into an encounter that will change the quality of his life, of her life. Somebody will step into an encounter that will change your experience in this life. Somebody will step into an encounter that will empower him or her to pioneer an order that will influence his generation. John had such a rich encounter with God, and a point came. They said, until the time of John. A whole generation was so influenced by John that in the spirit realm, they called that generation the time of John. There were many people serving the Lord, but the level of encounters that John had made him wield so much power over that generation. And when Jesus came, he said he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing to stay under that light for a season. You are not weak. And even if you are strong in the flesh, it's not an advantage. You need spiritual momentum that is generated in encounter. And the point will come, whether you look weak or strong, is no longer a factor. You will talk from the corridors of the encounters that you have had. I read the story of Catherine Kuhlman, a woman so shy. A point came, she was not even very expressive. So she didn't have a place in ministry. But she had these encounters with God. In the place of prayer, she will pace on the prayer corridor for close to 18 hours before she goes out for her meeting. And the point comes, she will be in the meeting and say, the Holy Ghost is here. He's touching somebody here. She could literally pick the movements of the Holy Spirit. She has become so used to the realm that when the Holy Ghost begins to move in the service, she knows, and she knows where the Holy Ghost is moving pattern. She lives there. And the point came, a lanky woman that was looked down upon became a mother of a movement that cannot be erased from the face of the earth. There is no way you can talk about the healing anointing in the world of men that you will not mention Captain Coburn. Because there are four major tributaries of encounters. Encounter with the Father, encounter with the Son or the Word, encounter with the Holy Spirit, and then encounter with messengers that God sends to you, either angels, men, or circumstances. But you must have one or many of those encounters in this season, because something about you changed. Please talk to the Lord now. Prayer, Lord, reveal yourself to me. God cannot be known unless he's revealed. Tell him to reveal himself to you. He said, no man can know him except him whom the Son reveals. You don't study God in a book, you can't find him until he reveals himself. Moses called him the God that dwells in the deep darkness.
By the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website or rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.